In Proverbs chapter 3 this evening, we're reading from verse 31 to 35. We're going to just title this, because of verse 31, we're going to title this, Envy Not the Oppressor. Beginning in verse 31, last week we were in verse 29 and 30 looking at the word strife in that subject. He says in verse 31, Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Father, we come before thee again this evening, asking for thy blessings and thy leading, thy guidance. Lord, help us to be encouraged as we read through the book of Proverbs. Help us to understand it. Lord, help us most of all to live it and appreciate the things that you've given to us to keep us on the straight and narrow path in contrast to the path that leads to destruction. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We find here in verse 31, we have a command for the believers, and that is not to envy the oppressor nor choose his ways. Now, the reason I'm putting these four verses or five verses together is because when we come to verse 32 to verse 35, there are four reasons to obey the command in verse 31. Again, verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. And so we find in verses 32 through 35, four reasons to be obedient to the command in verse 31. For instance, we find in verse 32, we see here the contrast between the perverse, here it's referred to as a froward, between that and the righteous. In verse 33, we see the contrast between the wicked and the just. In verse 34, we see the contrast between the scorner and the lowly. And then in verse 35, we see the contrast between the wise and the foolish. So these verses show the difference between the standing with God and their character and their eternal destiny. So let's get into verse 31. He says here, Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. We find here two commandments or two thoughts. We find that we're not to envy the oppressor, and we're not to choose his ways. Now, an oppressor is a man of violence, of wickedness, and mischief. And in some cases, we'll see it's one who would grow rich by unjust means. In other words, by the abuse of others. One of those passages would be in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. And another passage was, and that would be the oppressing of the poor, Brother Avery, and I was just talking about this before church. And the other one would be in James chapter 5, in verses 1 through 6, where he speaks of the rich, the poor coming and working for them, and them not being paid the wages that they should be paid. In other words, again, this word oppressor just basically has to do with one of bad character. Now, we could look in all walks of life and see this. We could see this easily in the political arena. We also know that there's many, the rich make wars and have the poor man to fight those wars in many cases. Notice he says in verse 31, Envy thou not the oppressor. That is, we're not to admire them. We are not to imitate them, whether they are wealthy or famous. In other words, we're not to be attracted to this in any way. We're not to choose their ways. We read in Hebrews 5, verse 24 through 26, Moses choosing God's way. He said he'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy all the riches of Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season and so forth. Moses made the right choices. He did not envy the oppressors, and the Egyptians were oppressors to God's people. And so he says here that we are not to envy them, not to admire them in any way, and we're not to choose their ways. We're not to imitate them, again, whether they be wealthy, whether they be famous, or whoever that they are. We're not to have that attraction. Now, there's many verses in the Bible that deal with this, but I want you to turn back with me to the book of Psalms. I want to point out two chapters. And again, there's basically hundreds of places that deal with this. But Psalms 37, let me read a few passages from this chapter, and then we'll look just at a few in chapter 78, or 73, I should say. But notice as we come here, beginning in verse 1, Psalms 37, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Now then, the oppressor is an evildoer. We could use many synonyms for the oppressor. Again, it's one, a man of violence, of wickedness. It's a man of mischief. So he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious," here's this word, "neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Notice as we come down to verse 7, beginning here. He says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." He goes on. Let me read some other verses here. Verse 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the earth shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." In other words, he's making the contrast between the true believer and the lost. And he said in verse 12, "The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be taken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked." In other words, a poor man that loves God and is saved, he has peace. We'll see some of the verses in Proverbs. And then the wicked that have their riches. So we're not to envy that. We're not to envy those in Hollywood, those in the political arena, those in the sports arena. He said in verse 17, "For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." Come down with me in the same chapter. Notice in verse 21, "The wicked borrowth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." Come down with me to verse 35 and 36. "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passeth away. And lo, he was not, yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." In other words, the memory of that is also gone. Notice in chapter 73, dealing with the oppressor, the wicked. In chapter 73, and we'll read several verses here, and then we'll get back to our text. And we find here that the psalmist learns something in this passage. I love this chapter. He said in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now notice what he says. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Notice, for I was envious. Now that's what we're told not to do. He said, for I was envious, that is jealous, at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. In other words, he's saying they don't seem to suffer as the saints do, dragged before the magistrates and persecuted and talked about and slandered and mocked. He said in verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. In other words, it just seems like things are great with them. Verse 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. In other words, they don't have the some of the problems of just surviving as other people do. They're corrupt, verse 8, and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doeth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You're glad the psalm doesn't end there. We find as we read on, now keep in mind, he's verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17 begins with the word until. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. There's many that just look like they're getting by with everything in this world. And they're happy, and they're wealthy, and many are famous, and whatever. And we're assured that their end is destruction and shame and misery. He goes on to say in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction, as in Noah's day. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. This is why we're not to compare ourselves with one another or anyone. He says, so foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He continues to talk about this. So when he looked around and made comparisons, he got very, very discouraged. But when he went into the sanctuary of God and met with God and listened to God's word, he became very encouraged. Going back to our text now, notice as we come back, reading verse 31 again. And I believe that the following verses are referring again to comparison to the same type of person. We've got different words that are used here. Notice in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. But Avery's just saying when he came in tonight, he's speaking about some of the meetings he has to go to and some of the things he has to deal with. and speaking about the strife that we spoke of last Wednesday night and sowing discord among brethren and things like that, this is just in the hearts of many people to do so. Now let's look at the contrast between the good and the bad. In verse 32, we have the contrast between the perverse or the froward and righteous. He said, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. Look at the contrast, but his secret is with the righteous. Now, when we come here to this word froward, this word means perverse or corrupt. It's someone who is habitually disposed to rebellion and disobedience and opposition to God's word. It's someone who stands against the truth of God and the authority of God. This word is mentioned many times. In chapter 2, verses 12 through 15, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, that is perverse or crooked things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. We find this again in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 23 through 27, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep is to guard or protect our hearts. And he says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Look at it again in chapter 6. In chapter 6, reading from verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. Again, crookedness and perverseness. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken. Notice, without remedy. Without remedy, as in Proverbs 29 and in verse 1. Notice again in chapter 17 in verse 20. Chapter 17 in verse 20, we have these words. He said, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Now come back with me to our text in chapter 3. There's hundreds of passages, hundreds of verses that you could compare with these. But as we go through the book of Proverbs, we'll keep coming back to some of these subjects. But notice something else about this person, man or woman. He said in verse 32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. Notice he's an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination means that which God hates. It's disgusting, it's despicable, it is hateful and vile. And you could add a multitude of other synonyms. This word is used with things and people and actions. It's used in reference to idolatry. It is used in reference in Deuteronomy to cross-dressing, men wearing women's clothes and women wearing men's clothes. That's in Deuteronomy 22:5. It's used for sodomy. And it's mentioned at least 10 to 15 times in the book of Proverbs. I think it's actually mentioned a little bit more. And I'll just read one of those. Chapter 6 says this in verse 16. We just read verse 12 through 15 a moment ago. These six things doeth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. He mentions a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Sowing discord among brethren is mentioned twice here in chapter 6. And you'll find this again in chapter 8 and in verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Again, it speaks of a false balance in chapter 11, verse 1, being an abomination. This is just simply something that God absolutely abhors and he hates. So the forward person, the perverse and crooked person that is in rebellion against God's word, they are an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. But notice now the contrast in verse 32. He said, but his secret, that'd be like his counsel, his word, his revelation, but his secret is with the righteous. Psalms 25:14 is one passage. But it's talking about God's counsel. He reveals his truth and his counsel to his children alone, to those whom he loved that are beloved. In Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17, the disciples asked, Lord, why do you speak in parables? Parables were revealing and also concealing. Parables was opening the eyes of those who love God, but it didn't open the eyes of those who disregard his word. He said, your eyes shall be opened. You will see things that the prophets never even saw. But he said, their eyes will be closed. Their ears will be closed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Oh, he can talk about God. She can quote scriptures. But they will never, ever understand the true things of God. I guess it was an opportunity to talk to someone yesterday like that, saying they know God, and in their speech, totally contrary. But also in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2, we find that God reveals the secret things, reveals his truth to his people by his Spirit. So that's what this is talking about. So one here is an abomination, and the other one is being given the secret things of God, the truth of God. The Lord Jesus spoke of this in the Upper Room Discourse in John 14 and verse 23, and also John 15 and verse 15. He spoke of this. He spoke about giving to his disciples truth that he's not given to just a common person because they're followers of him. So he's revealing to them things that he did not reveal just to everyone. So let's notice the next contrast here in verse 33. He says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. So here's the contrast between the wicked and the just. Again, each one of these is the saved and lost. The sheep and the goats is what we're talking about here. The wheat and the tares. And so he says here, the just, let's go back to one chapter. I could give you a multitude of verses on this, but notice in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 sums up the difference between the godly and the ungodly, the wicked and the just. Notice the first few verses. He says in beginning verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what we're talking about in chapter 3 of Proverbs and verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Now let's read from verses 4 through 6 about the ungodly. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's a contrast here between the wicked and between the just. Notice back as we read verse 33 again in Proverbs 3, he says, the curse of the Lord. Now think about this, the curse. We find this curse in a multitude of places. We find it Leviticus 26, verse 14 through 16. We find it again in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 20. Those are two parallel passages. The whole chapters are dealing with blessings and curses. We find it in Zechariah 5 and verse 4 and Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2. Think about this curse. He says, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house. Not just the individual, but the house of the wicked. Remember Achan? Read about him in Joshua 6 and Joshua 7 when he took things out of Jericho that was not to be taken, the accursed thing. Not only was he cursed, but his entire family. And so we don't sin alone. We don't sin alone. A man sins against God and rebels against God in wickedness, whether it affects the entire family. You take a man that is a drunkard or a man that's covetous or whatever, it's going to affect his entire family. I think about this, and I mentioned a moment ago in Psalms, but listen to this right here. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therein. You're better off to be as poor as dirt if there's love and salvation and peace there than have all the oxen and the house full of good things. Listen to this, chapter 16 and verse 8. Chapter 16 and verse 8 says, a gift is as a precious stone in the eye. No, that's not what I'm reading. I'm reading chapter 17. Chapter 16 now, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without it. And then in chapter 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therein than a house full of sacrifices and strife. Notice back in chapter 3, all right, verse 31, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now we come to verse 34, we have the contrast between the scorner and the lowly. He says in verse 34, surely the scorner, he that scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Surely he scorneth the scorner. God will scorn the scorner. But he said, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. What is the scorner? You can write down chapter 14 and verse 6. It's someone who is self-inflated, prideful, a slanderer, someone who mocks or belittles others. It's basically someone who hates God. You can write these verses down too because he mentions the lowly. The lowly. In the book of James in chapter 4 and in verse 6. James 4 and verse 6 says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You'll find this again in Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And in chapter 5, he speaks of meekness of that same chapter. Chapter 5, verse 5. I'm saying that wrong. Chapter 5, verse 5. We also find this in Psalms 138 in verse 6. In other words, a contrast between the scorner and the lowly. In Psalms 138 verse 6 says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Also in Psalms 149 and in verse 4. Psalms 149 and in verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Wonderful truths. And we see this illustrated in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, probably verse 9 to about verse 15, where you have the Pharisee lifted up in pride, the publican humbled himself, and the Lord speaks of those who will be exalted to be humble. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. So he says here in our text in verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The last thing we have here is in verse 35, and we have a contrast between the wise and fool. Now this, someone who is wise with the wisdom of God is what he's talking about, and then the fool. And he says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Shame has to do with vanity and destruction. Inherit glory has the ideal of inheriting heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, verse 17 and 18, he speaks of the eternal weight of glory that we will have in heaven one day. So verse 35, one more time, the wise shall inherit glory. And that is, again, entering into the presence of God, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you again tonight for the privilege that you've given us to come together and be able to sing the songs of Zion and pray together, fellowship together, look into thy word. Lord, as Brother Avery and I were talking earlier, how many takes these truths seriously in our society? We see the envy of those who are oppressors. We see the strife. We see the oppositions in our society to your word and your truth. And even many that name the name of Christ seems to not be looking at these scriptures as they should. Lord, help us as individuals and as a church, Lord, to be attentive to every word that you have given to us. Help us to realize when you call something an abomination, that is totally and completely contrary to your truth and your word. Lord, help us to walk in truth and righteousness. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.